Boy, again, I want to thank you for coming today. For those of you online today, it's interesting because as the admin of a page, I get to see who's currently online. So to our various county commissioners that I saw logged in today, welcome to Action Church. To several city council members from the city of Canton, welcome to Action Church. From a very high-ranking official who didn't log in under his own account but logged in under his wife's account, welcome to Action Church. Man, I love this place. 14 years ago, we had the first service next door. Back that up. 14 years ago, we had the first service out in that parking lot. I had a group of people meet with me. I had been out of ministry for about 2 years. And I sat at the bar at Applebee's with 13 people, and they asked me to start a church. And I said no. I told them I would start a Bible study, but I didn't have any desire to start a church. We started a Bible study. We met at the YMCA for about 4 weeks. My previous church had so many people. Let's just lay it all out today, right? My previous church had so many people call the YMCA and tell them that if they continued to allow us to meet there, that they would pull their membership. So the Y asked us to leave. We moved into the Cherokee County Art Center. We met there for about 3 months. And then we found what is now our kids' area. And I had never been in a church with a building. I'd been in ministry at that time for 10, 12 years, and I'd never pastored a church that had a building. I'd always pastored portable churches. And so I thought you just rented a building and you just moved into a building. I didn't know you had to zone a building for a church to meet in it. I didn't know you had to have this amazing thing in your building called restrooms. The restrooms were over on this side of the building, which we didn't rent. So we met there one Sunday, and we showed up the next day, and there was this big, how many of you construction people in here? We had this big red tag on the front door. I didn't know what that meant. So being the deep researcher I am, I pulled it off and threw it away. And we met the next week inside the building. During that meeting, a city worker showed up with a red tag to explain to me what a red tag was. So then we spent about 4 months meeting in the parking lot as we built that building out. For 4 months, I always love to tell this story, for 4 months it never rained. And then our first Sunday in the building, it poured all Sunday. I thought that was just how God is.
That's right.
And God did awesome things in that little space next door. And we prayed forever to get this space. And believe it or not, at that time, this space was only used about 5 weeks out of the year. It was paranoia haunted house. And so they used it in October. It was a haunted house the rest of the time. They got another building, and eventually the landlord gave us this side of the building, and I think that was about 12 years ago, 11 years ago. And God has done amazing things in this place. I mean, really, to be honest with you, I get that you don't really understand it because maybe you're not in the church world. This church really makes no sense. You don't go to the poorest part of town and start a church.
That's right.
You don't go into an old building and start a church. You don't go start a church and decide, man, we're going to do church for those that don't do church. It's kind of like starting a steakhouse for a vegetarian. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And yet God blessed. And lives have been changed here. And marriages, including mine, have been restored here. And those with hurts, habits, and hang-ups have got clean here. I estimated, I quit keeping up about 3.5 years ago, but that's when my business got really busy and I kind of quit keeping up, and I wish I wouldn't have done that. But I used to keep up with how many people we had fed over the years and done stuff, and I think like 3 years ago, we were close to almost 10,000 people had been fed through food giveaways here at this church. I remember the first time we ever fed anybody. We had a gentleman who went to our church. He was in the grocery business. And he called me and he said, man, I've got a 53-foot trailer. I don't know, maybe Sandra will remember this. Kylie will remember. There's very few people still here that I've run most of them off. The Lord's run them off. And he said, it's full of food, but I don't know what it's full of. But I can have the place we're taking it to says it's a misorder, and we can come to the parking lot, but we only have 3 hours, and we've got to give all this food away. Do you think you can do it? And it was refrigerated food, so we couldn't just unload it into the building. It's the only thing he knew was refrigerated food. And I said, man, we can do that. That's easy. I'd never given away food in my life. And I'll never forget that 53-foot truck trailer pulled in. It was full from nose to end with pallets of ice cream. Does anybody remember that? Ice cream. Good ice cream. Like high-dollar ice cream. And we had traffic backed up both ways for miles giving away ice cream. And he called a month later and said, man, I got this truck full of stuff. I don't know what it is, but it can be there for 3 hours. And he pulled in, and it was a 53-foot trailer of Sunny D. Does anybody remember what Sunny D is? We gave away a 53-foot trailer of Sunny D. And then the next time he came, and this is the time that I was like, man, I don't know if we can pull this one off. He said, this is going to be really weird. I have a 53-foot trailer full of roach repellent. I said, man, I don't know if we can give that away. We gave that away in 30 minutes. Every Spanish person from the hills came down. And then I remember at that time there was a huge need in our community for backpacks going back to school. I don't mean this in a meaning. Every church does it now, every organization. No one was doing it then. And so we started giving away backpacks and putting on a carnival. Like we literally would bring in a carnival and we would give away backpacks. I think we gave away between 2,500 and 3,000 every year. Then every church started doing it and we decided, man, there was no longer a need. We've done some crazy things in this building. I remember my wife had broken her arm and we were at the doctor's office and the mayor called me. And he said, man, can you start a warming shelter for the city? And I said, I'm sure we can do that. When are you thinking? And he said, tonight. I came to find out later that the news was about to do an investigative report on Cherokee County and why it was the only metro Atlanta county that didn't have a warming shelter. And so we ran a shelter, and until this last winter, we ran a shelter. And probably I would feel safe to say 500 to 600 different people have had a warm night here in this building. We've done somewhere between 900 and 1,000 baptisms in this building. That's pretty impressive. People going public with their faith. Families have rediscovered church here. I actually think that's probably, to me, at this stage in our life, the coolest thing about our church. It's almost not normal at our church for just a husband and wife to come. It's the husband and wife, their parents, their kids, and sometimes their grandkids. At times on Sunday, there's 4 generations of families here. That's pretty cool to me. Families that had given up on church, had not went to church, had not done anything, and now they're here. We have laughed here. We have cried here. Amen. We have celebrated here. I'm going to tell you this story, and I wish I would have got permission before. But early in our church, I had pastored in my previous life some very staunch traditional churches that were kind of judgy. Like people would get divorced and they would shun them. I remember one of the churches that I pastored that a young girl got pregnant, a teenager got pregnant, and Miss O'Flabberjaw in our church started flapping her jaws about everybody, about, we got to do something about this girl. She's pregnant. Like, what are we supposed to do? She's pregnant now. She flapped her jaws a long time until she found out the dad of that kid was her husband. Not her husband. Whoa! Not her husband. her son. We'd have really got some good rumors going, huh? But I'll never forget, we were about, and I'm probably messing these dates up, but we were very new as a church, and Kylie and Betty's daughter got pregnant. And I remember hearing about it and thinking to myself, man, how is the church? Churches are weird, man. They're weird. And I was like, how are they going to respond to this? And it was never brought up one time. Amen. Never any gossip. People rallied around.
That's right.
Kara's now married, got a beautiful family. That little boy's a blessing. I'm not airing dirty laundry. I'm just saying, like, I just remember that and being like, man, this place is different. Amen. It handles situations the way they should handle situations biblically. You know, I have stood on this stage and shared with you huge issues in my life, and you guys have been a blessing to me. But let me make this clear. I think sometimes you think I say stuff just to say it, and you don't realize that I don't say anything on this stage that I don't believe and I don't mean. I have said from day one that Action Church is not a building. I have said it. I have sprayed it. It's never been about this building. This building has been a blessing. It has been a nightmare. But it's never been about this building. And it's funny because I don't know that a church anywhere has become more tied to their building than probably in the community eyes we are. Because so much stuff happens in this building. But we have preached that we are not about a building. We have believed that we are not about a building. And now we're about to get to live that out.
Amen.
2 years ago, I've kept you in the loop the best I could. 2 years ago, the city of Canton, hey officials, bought this property. They made it very clear from the beginning that there would come a day when we would have to vacate the property. We knew that day was coming.
That's right.
We were not surprised by that. They made it very clear. The problem is, after they bought the property and made it clear, we never really received much communication from them anymore. I would go to the city, and the city would say, it's not us, it's the DDA. For those of you who don't know, that's the Downtown Development Authority. It's this weird way that the cities can purchase land. Anyway, that's who had bought the land, and the DDA had to respond to us. And we would never get answers. I would run into government officials in our community, and I would always ask, hey, man, where do we stand? And over again, this was always the answer. Don't worry about it. We currently have no plans. We will give you plenty of notice. Cool. We had a good relationship with our city. Again, we ran things for our city. We never knew when it was going to be, but we knew the day was coming, and we knew in good faith that the city would give us enough time to have the opportunity to find something else. During that time, we looked at other places. Anytime a place became available, I looked at it. I recently had a meeting that I kind of was excited about because I kind of figured we had about a year, and I knew of a place that was possibly going to open a year from now. So I got excited about it. Then this Monday, I heard through the grapevine that every tenant in this building got a letter from the city. We didn't get the letter. And there, in the interest of full disclosure, they mailed the letter. It was certified. It had to be signed. There's not normally a lot of people down here during the day to sign the letter. Apparently, their phones don't work. Let me back that up. We got the letter this week after I took to social media. Amazing how that works. Matter of fact, we got it certified, we got it emailed, and we got it hand-delivered. But this letter came, and I thought I'd read it to you. To whom it may concern, because you don't know who makes decisions down here. The town development authority of Canton, Georgia, as the landlord of the premises you occupy in the Canton Village Shopping Center, hereby notifies you that we are terminating your will. We are terminating your month-to-month lease. We knew that was coming. That's a little weird to see it. That was one sentence. Then the second sentence was, you must vacate the premises or surrender possession on or before September 30th. 10 weeks from now. The city dropped the ball. The leadership should do better. It's classless. It's their right. But they should have handled it better. Apparently, they're going to demo this building, which, again, is their right. We knew all along this building was getting torn down. There's no way they didn't know 3 months ago. There's no way they couldn't have given everybody in this shopping center 6 months' notice. But guess what? They didn't. And guess what? God ain't done with this place. So here's the deal. Action Church will no longer be in this building as of September 30th. Guess what? We have no idea where Action Church will be on October 1st.
That's right.
But guess what? God does. This church is probably healthier than it's ever been.
Amen.
Yeah. It's amazing what happens when the leadership starts getting healthy.
That's right.
It only took me 47 years. God's doing amazing things here.
Amen.
But God's not done with this place. So what I want you to know is I understand that there's some uncertainty about things. But I need you to understand something. We knew this was coming, number one.
Amen.
Number two, let's back that up. That should be number two. We knew this was coming. Number one, God knew this was coming. Number three, we are not mad at the city that we have to vacate this premises.
That's right.
We're not. That is their right. If I buy property, I want to do with that property as I see fit to do with it. But number four, I personally am super disappointed in their lack of leadership. It is what it is. It's not even about Action Church, because we'll find some place to go. We already have a worst-case scenario option.
Amen.
We know exactly worst-case scenario where we will be. I could be wrong on this date, but I believe it's October 6th is the first Sunday in October. What is it? Whatever it is. First Sunday in October. Worst case, we know where we'll be. We're not going to share that today. Because we think God might open up some other doors.
That's right.
So we will continue. We won't miss 1 week.
Amen.
But I don't know that most of these small businesses down here will survive. And that's a shame that a city who's supposed to have the interest of the community in their mind couldn't at least give notice of something they already knew about. I'm more worried about a place like Bethesda Community Clinic that sets up here every single Monday and services and takes care of people. It's their number one place. So I'm more worried about AA meetings that meet here on Friday and Saturday. I'm more worried about Salvation. I don't think people realize what Salvation Army does in this community. They feed people and they clothe people and they have programs to help people get back on their feet. But we'll be okay.
That's right.
But I've got to prepare you for some things as we move forward. Because the reality is things will happen. change.
That's right.
I hope you understand that. Things that we think make action action might not be the same at the next place. You say, what are you talking about? I can't tell you that because I don't know where we're going. You might have to sit in rows for a little while till we find a building big enough to put bar tables. You'll be okay. You might have to get on the Facebook page and look because we might be in a different location every single week. That's okay. Things will change. But love God, love people, take action will not change. Now, what does that look like? I don't know what it looks like. Because again, it depends on where the Lord allows us to end up. I need you to understand something. We are looking at possibilities all the way from Highway 92 to Exit 27. Because that's where we've got to look. We might end up a mile down the road. We might end up in Holly Springs. We might end up in Woodstock. We might end up in Ball Ground. I don't know. What we and the elders are going to come up at the end of the service, where you can meet the elders. What we have committed to the best of our ability, is we are going to try to stay as close to the interstate as possible.
That's right.
Because we are in a weird way for a small church or a very regional church. People drive down from Jasper. People drive up from Kennesaw and Marietta. People drive from Paulding County weekly to be part of this church.
Amen.
Some of you are going to begin to look at properties and send them to us. Feel free to do that. As you begin to look for properties, what you're going to see, first of all, is there's a church for sale in our county.
That's right.
I know that. You're going to see it. It's an awesome-looking church. It's not the church for us. It's down back roads. It puts us in a different community away from the interstate, and it doesn't fulfill the vision we feel God has for this church.
Amen.
What I need you to do is this. Don't listen to rumors. Let me say this, and he's probably watching online, and I'm about to offend some of you, and I'm not trying to be that guy. But if you're getting your information from Speedy Smith, you're getting your information from the wrong person, because he don't know. After about 20 of you called me this week with inaccurate information. I can't believe you said that. Oh, I'm about to say a whole bunch of stuff. Because the devil loves to come along and divide. If you hear stuff from city officials, guess what? From this point forward, other than the fact that we have to be out of the property, the city doesn't know our next move.
That's right.
So you can hear whatever you want to hear. If it doesn't come from me or one of our elders, you probably have inaccurate information, so don't get caught up in gossip.
That's right.
Because that is the devil's move. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, and I also say to you, he's talking to Peter, that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. He's not looking at Peter. The Catholics get it wrong here. The Catholics think he's looking at Peter and saying, you're Peter, and on you, meaning Peter, I'll build my church. No, he's saying, you're Peter, and on this rock, meaning himself, Jesus, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church has always been built on Jesus. I understand that is hard for people in this community to understand. The problem is most churches don't understand, and I'm not trying to be mean here, they don't understand not being built on Jesus. Because like it or not, most churches, even churches that seem non-traditional, they're built on tradition. They're built on their denominational way of doing church. They're built on the other way of doing church. It's funny. Everybody's like, man, they're so non-traditional. They're not non-traditional. They're just like every other church. They just have different music. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When a church is built on Jesus, he says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. That's why God has done what he's done around here. That's why God has taken a flawed, messed up pastor in an island of misfit toys, and he's used it. I'm not saying this in an arrogant way or a cocky way or a bragging way. I'm stating it in a factual way. He's taken this ragtag group of people, and this ragtag group of people with a ragtag pastor has impacted the lives of the down and out more than any other church in this community. There will sadly be a void in this community come October 1st. People who don't, God's going to work it out, but they won't be able to come to 261 Marietta Road and get medical help anymore. I believe God's going to give them a place right around here. They're not going to be able to come here and no questions asked get food. This winter, when it gets cold, I pray another church steps up. But the reality is, and this is me defending other churches, the reason it made sense for us to step up is because of where we were located. It worked. There's a lot of churches that could step up to open their doors as a shelter, but the reality is they're not in the area where there's a need for that. The impact will be felt. Most churches would panic in this situation. Most churches would mourn. I've had more people tell me this week, man, you're just kind of cold-hearted. I said, what do you mean? The people that have known about it. You don't seem fazed by it. Let me make this clear to you. I love this building. But it's a building. I was smoked in what I was selling when I said, this is just a building. I have spent the week. It's almost impossible to pull into this parking lot and not have my memories flooded with the crazy stuff we have done here. The stuff y'all have let me get away with as your pastor is, y'all should be ashamed. Man, we have done some insane stuff here. But those are memories. And we don't live. When your memories outweigh the expectancy, you're close to death. This is just a stage in our life. I'm not giving you a sales pitch today. I'm telling you I believe this with everything that is in me. God is not done with Action Church. I'll be real honest with you. I took about 3 hours after I found out about it before I even told my wife, and I got alone with God, and I said, man, are you finally releasing me from this place? And I'm telling you, I knew God was not done with this place. God has bigger. Matter of fact, I predict between now and December 31st, this church will double in size. And I've never talked about church growth. I just believe we're about to see. I believe God has been getting us ready for a move of God. He's been bringing the right people in. There's always preparation and revival. God's been bringing the right people in. God has been eliminating the wrong people. And I believe we're about to see something great. I want to remind you, and I've said this already, but I want to remind it. I want it in print. The church isn't about a building.
That's right.
I've been pastoring since I was 22 years old. I have been on staff in churches that had 50 people and churches that had 5,000 people. I started a church that became the 16th fastest growing church in America. And until Action Church, I never was in a church that had a building. God is not limited to a building. God doesn't need our building. The building is amazing, but the building is a tool. Look what he says in Acts 17. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. Can I go ahead and tell you, and maybe I'll change the series for next month and we'll do a walk through the book of Acts. The church today looks a whole lot different than the early church. The early church met in homes. The early church met in courtyards. The early church met wherever they needed to meet to be able to fellowship, pray, and hear the word of God taught. We are the church. This building is a building. You are the church. When you go out into this community, you're the church. You represent Action Church when you're helping someone, and you represent Action Church when you're flipping somebody off in traffic. You are the church. We are the church. Where we gather, church happens. The word church in the original language is called ecclesia. It means a called out assembly. Called out from what? Called out from the world and assembled together. That's a church. Amen. We're not a building.
That's right.
I liked it better when we were at Marietta Road. Guess what, baby? September 30th, it ain't an option anymore.
That's right.
So you can like it better all day. That and $6 will get you a coffee at Starbucks. I can already hear some of you. Here's what I'm going to get to that at the end of the sermon. Because we're going to address some things. You know what the Bible says about the early church, though? When they would walk into a community, there's a phrase. One time they walk into a community and someone said, "It's them." It's them that are turning the world upside down. It's funny, when I came out with my 420 video, there was a pastor, a very famous pastor in America, who spent about 10 minutes of his sermon calling me out by name. That's cool. What's funny, though, what's kind of cool about that pastor is they outgrew their building. They run thousands of people in a tent on their property every week. Well, I didn't agree with him calling me out by name. I disagreed more with him getting my name wrong. How awesome that is, people gather and rally around what they believe is the biblical version, and they do whatever it takes, even if it means meeting in a tent.
Right.
See, we're about to find out, are we true when it comes to our faith? Are we comfortable when it comes to our faith?
Amen.
Do we come to Action Church because we like the fact that the music's loud and there's lots of lights? Do we like the fact that Gary gets up and every now and then he's going to cuss and say some things that offends people, and when we share his post, people are going to come on and argue like that? Or do we truly believe in the vision of this church? Love God, love people, take action. We're about to find out. It's easy to get comfortable at this church. You show up and the sound system's hung up. You show up and the band's ready to go. You show up and the chairs are out. You show up and everything's in place. And all you got to do is show up and sit down. Guess what? Those days probably temporarily are over. Chairs are going to have to be put out. Sound system is going to have to be set up. We're doing everything in our power not to have to become a portable church. You say, what's a portable church? A church that meets in a school, church that meets in a movie theater. But I'll make this clear. We might have to.
That's right.
I told you we have a worst case scenario. Even in the worst case scenario, it's a permanent building, but it will be a building that has to be set up every Friday and a building that's tore down every Sunday afternoon. It's a place of business. But God's not limited. I have looked and called about every possibility I can this week. I've called other churches. I've called churches that I know have multiple buildings on their property and said, hey, would you rent out that building? So far, it's been crickets. That's okay. I believe this. I believe today when I publicly post about it, and I would ask you to share the post. I don't think it's too mean. But here's what I believe. I believe people in this community are going to see there's a need, and they've got a solution. The reason they've never brought a solution is they didn't know there was a need. I can't meet your needs if I don't know you have a need. I'm not worried about it because, listen to me, the church is not a building. The Holy Spirit doesn't need an address to move. Matter of fact, I can't help but wonder sometimes if having an address hinders and blocks the Holy Spirit. So I want to remind you today, the early church, or the church isn't about a building. I want to remind you this, the early church, we're nomads. We're about to become nomads. We're about to become a group of people that are united around a common cause, and we have no place to call home. I remember we served a Savior, and it said he had no place to lay his head. There's no promises. I remember, but it's funny, the perception of people. I remember at my previous church, we were running about 1,500, 1,600, 1,700 people every Sunday. And I would talk to my mom, and my mom was a very traditional church, is a very traditional church person. She was on staff at a huge mega church, and she was like, I just pray that one day you become a real church. And I said, what do you mean, Mom? Well, you just get a building. I said, Mom, there's 1,600 people coming every week. I know, but real churches have buildings. That was how she was trained. That was her mindset. Churches start out as movements, and then they build monuments. And monuments, they grow, and then suddenly they become stagnant. The budget goes to cleaning up the building instead of reaching the community. Amen. We're about to get raw and real. See those cushy seats you're sitting in? In our worst-case scenario place, they're not going to be put out because they take up too much space. You'll be in a white folding chair. I don't like that. Then we might no longer be the church for you. I'm not trying to run you off. I'm not trying to be a jerk by saying that. I'm telling you, we're about to find out, is it about Christ or is it about your comfort? We'll become nomads. No more predictable Sunday mornings. You say, well, it's never predictable. It's very predictable around here. You show up. You hear three songs. You see me do the announcements. We do one more song. We do a sermon, and you go home.
That's right.
We might be in some warehouse somewhere. We might be under a tent somewhere, because I've called about a tent. I've called about a tent with nice, fancy sides. I've talked to some of the rednecks around here and been like, man, how can we get air in there? I asked one of our rednecks, I said, can we take the air conditioning units out of this building? He said, they don't work, remember? I said, oh, yeah. I just said, we could pipe them in on a trailer and pipe them into the tent. I don't know what the plans are. Hebrews says this, by faith Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. God gave Abraham a place to go, and he had to wander to get there. Let me make this clear. God has a place for us. I actually know a place that, again, could be open in a year that would exceed all of our expectations. But we might wander in the wilderness for a year. Guess what? It's going to be okay. Here's the beautiful thing about it. We got everything you need to have church except a building. We got chairs. We got sound equipment. It's funny, when I started this church, I had a church in Macon, Georgia, give me 8 rolling cases. They're called portable church rolling cases. And over the years, sometimes I thought, why do we still have those cases? And I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I remember somebody was starting a church, and I was like, man, maybe I need to give them those cases. And God just never would release those cases. So we got cases. We'll load the kids' stuff in cases, and we'll set it up. We'll set up sound equipment every week. Why doesn't it sound fun? Why did you think Christianity was supposed to be fun? It's going to be real fun. Now, here's the benefit. They say most people in a church take on the personality of a pastor. So we have a church full of entrepreneurial people. We have a church full of risk takers. We have a church. You don't go to this church if you're looking for comfort. It's going to be interesting. County commissioners, please log off at this moment. we might meet in some places that aren't zoned as a church. And so we're going to have to figure out a secret way to let you know where we meet. It is what it is. We'll figure it out. I want you to know this today. God does his best work in uncertainty. God does his best work in uncertainty. You know the funny thing? If we had all the answers, we wouldn't need faith. I don't need faith when I know what's going to happen. I don't have faith that the sun is going to go down tonight. I just know it's going to go down. I don't have faith. I'm leaving here. My wife is out of town. I'm leaving here because I'm fat, and that's what I like to do. And me, Bubba, and Ron are driving all the way into Atlanta to go eat Brazilian Steakhouse just where we can eat all the meat we want and not have our wives guilt us. I don't have faith that I'm going to have the meat sweats. I know I'm going to have the meat sweats. Faith kicks in when you don't know what's next. Do you think God brought us this far to just shut down October, or September, whatever that is? The 30th is a Wednesday. I'm talking about the Sunday. No. He didn't. That's absurd. You think God brought us through all the obstacles we've been through to shut down? Get out of here. Sometimes the step back is God just getting ready for the setup. Sometimes you've got to take a step back. If you know anything about fighting, you've got to step back, plant your foot where you can throw the best punch. God is stepping us back to set us up. Amen. I don't know where that will be. But here's what I do know based on where we're located. No matter where we move, south, north, whatever, the worst case scenario, it might add 10 minutes to your drive. I don't know. I can't tell you where we're going. But God does amazing work in uncertainty. By day, the Lord went ahead of them, Exodus, in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light. God loves wilderness seasons because it's where he can move in the wilderness. God's plans are not our plan. It's not a setback. It's a setup for something bigger. Listen. You know what's so great about this situation to me? And I want you to hear my heart. I don't need this church. Most pastors would get up here, and not that their heart is in the wrong place, but they would be stressed about their income and what their future holds. I don't need this church for my family to survive. I don't do this because I'm getting rich from you guys. I do this because deep in my heart, I believe God called me to do this. Amen. You know how much I would love to be able to have my weekends free? I've never had them free in my life. But I can't run from the calling of God on my life. So it's nice to get up here. I don't got to get up here and be rah, rah, rah to motivate you. I get up here and I'm rah, rah, rah because I believe it. Amen. I'm genuinely excited about what God's going to do next. Amen. I don't want to go, and I'm going to keep you in the loop the best I can. Me and the elders made that commitment. There will not be weekly updates, so there won't be weekly things to update you on. I am not going to update you about every meeting I had. There's no point in you getting excited about something that simply was a meeting. But I had several phone calls this week. I had several meetings this week. From those meetings came nothing of certainty. But from those meetings came several possibilities. Things don't happen overnight, but several possibilities. When I tell you, it's been a long time since I've been back. I thought about restaurants that are empty in this town and be like, huh, can we retrofit that restaurant? I've thought about warehouses. I'm like, can we retrofit that warehouse? I've thought about landscape places that used to be warehouse. Can we retrofit that? Huh, can we buy that and put a tent on it? Huh, can we do this? Could we do that? Listen, there ain't nothing we ain't thought about. And we're going to pursue every opportunity. And as you come, some of you might know places already.
That's right.
You might have an uncle that's got a warehouse. You might have a cousin who's in a church that's about to close. I don't know. But God does.
That's right.
God works the best in uncertainty. I'm excited about it. I have known, and maybe it's because of the property, God has been releasing this place in my heart for about a year and a half now. I appreciate your concern because almost every one of you have asked me, what about all the stuff you do in the building? That's never been a factor. I do the stuff I do in this building for my business simply because we had a big building and could do it. I've never built my budget around those things. If I never do them again, I had already felt like God was setting me up. And I'm not trying to make this about me, but so many of you have asked about me. And I appreciate that as your pastor, you care. God has already been telling me I had big events coming up that were going to provide it. And God had been telling me to release things for years. And I kept holding on to them. So God will take what he wants if you don't listen. I'm not worried about those. Those things are not a priority at all. A home for us is the priority.
That's right.
A home where we can impact a community is the priority. God does his best work in uncertainty. And then, last and I'm done. This is just the beginning,
amen,
not the end. We've never been a church for the comfortable.
Right.
Never. We've always been a tribe of misfits. We've always been the rebels. We've always been the renegades. We've always been the black sheep. We've always been the one who went down whatever path God led us to go down.
Amen.
That will not change.
That's right.
It might look a little different, but it will not change. The mission will not change. Someone said, are we still going to do this? Are we still going to do that? We're going to do whatever needs to be met where we're at.
Amen.
That's what we're called to do.
That's right.
The needs might be different in a different area, but we're going to be the church that meets those needs. We're always, no matter where we're at, we're going to be the church for those who don't do church. We're not going to apologize for that.
Right.
I don't know what the future holds, but I know it's not the ending.
Right.
I know you've heard this story 1,000 times. Well, the Bible says this, first of all. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. You know the great thing is we don't know what we're doing, but he does.
Right.
I truly believe about 2 years ago when I stood on this stage and got real raw with you about where I was in life and you guys stood by me, God's been setting us up ever since then.
Amen.
So many of you have come and been like, there's just something different about this place. Yeah. And our weakness, he's made perfect.
Right.
So here's the deal. Some of you are going to mourn this building. That's okay. It's okay. Mourn. For a day.
Right.
We got 9 weeks. We ain't got time to feel sorry for ourselves.
Amen.
We've got needs. I'm going to keep you updated on needs. I'll tell you the first need we have. Maybe there's a connection out there. We've already got a couple of connections, but we're going to probably need 53-foot trailers we can put behind my office building. We got a lot of stuff to store.
That's
So if you have a contact with crappy old trailers that we can put behind our building, as long as they don't leak, let us know. What other needs? I'm going to let you know when the time comes. Here's the other need. If you know of anybody that has a place that might be a possibility to meet in, let us know.
Right.
There's no stupid ideas. Matter of fact, what I've learned is sometimes the worst ideas kind of morph into the best ideas.
Amen.
So let us know. If you know of a small church that has about 7 or 8 people and they're a congregational-led church, meaning they vote, let us know. We'll all go join. And I'm just kidding. We're not going to vote anybody out. We're not going to power move. Let me know on the side. Not just kidding. So what can we be doing? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be praying for this church. We're going to come down. We're going to end the service. We're going to get real spiritual today. But I need to be powerful in us coming down here and just praying together. I'm going to let the elders come up. I want you to see the elders today, because I want you to know who you can go to when you can't, when you don't want to maybe even go to me. The only elder that won't be up here today is Doug Knight. Doug woke up very sick last night, so remember him in your prayers. So I want you to pray. This is going to be hard, because I'm going to tell you, if we have a weakness as a church, this is one of them. Shut up gossiping. Shut up gossiping. Quit trying to get the scoop. I can promise you, you ain't getting it. And anybody that's giving it to you don't know it. You don't know how to be quiet. You'd be shocked on how much I know how to be quiet about. Make no mistake about it. You might think that I'm carefree on social media. I don't post anything I don't want to post. I need you to pray, not only for the church. Pray about if this is still going to be the place for you. I don't want to lose any of you. But let me make this clear. We need everybody rowing in the same direction. As you read the book of Acts, matter of fact, we are going to do that. We're going to change our September series. We'll go to the book of Acts. One thing you'll see over and over and over again is, man, the Bible talked about over and over, they were in unity. They were in one accord. They had all things common. There was power in being unified. God changed the world. Jesus changed the world with 11 disciples, 12 till Judas, 11. You don't think we can change a county with 150? But not if we're not rolling in the same direction. I want you to stay optimistic. The Bible says in Philippians, whatever's true, whatever's worthy, whatever's virtuous, blah, 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 all the good things, think on those things. Stay positive. I know that is so hard for some of you. Stay positive. Ask where you can get plugged in and help out. There's going to be temporarily set up crews that need to be put in place and tear down crews that need to be put in place. And David's not going to be able to set up sound by himself every week. He can run it, but he ain't going to be able to set it up. Lend a hand. I'm going to ask you to do this, and I don't ask you this blindly, so let me make sure there's another reason why I want the elders up here. Trust the leadership here. If you can't trust the leadership, then you're probably at the wrong church. I can promise you there won't be a leadership around that keeps it more real and honest with you than we do. We got nothing to hide. We're in a good position right now. Financially, we're in a solid position right now.
Amen.
Now, that don't mean we got a lot of money, but what it does mean is we paid the bills and got some money. This building, financially, to be honest with you, was like a weight around our neck.
That's right.
The rent was affordable, but that air conditioning unit, I don't normally tell you these things. Electric bill just on this side is about $4,000 a month. Where we go next is going to be a little cheaper. Unless we jerk this one out of the ceiling and have to pipe it into a tent. Can you do that? All right, Lou says we can do it. If you can't, we're taking the air. No, just kidding. And all the copper. No, just kidding. Don't lie. I know some of y'all stole some copper before. I see you. Hey, God is good. Can I tell the stupid story that I tell all the time about my granny? Because I have to. My granny, every Sunday, the preacher would come over and eat. My granny was Southern boy. She threw down. You always knew the preacher. Let me rephrase that. She always had dinner every Sunday, but you always knew the preacher was coming when she cooked two meats. We only got one meat. Like, she'd make fried chicken. If the preacher was coming, there'd be like fried chicken and meatloaf. So she'd make that good food. Matter of fact, the last Sunday here, we should do a cook. We shouldn't even do a cookout. Let's forget that. Let's do a, like, the old school Southern Baptist. What do they call them? Potluck. I don't want burgers and hot dogs. I want some fried chicken, meatloaf. Oh, you know, we should do baptisms the last Sunday too. We'll do that too. But I mean, man, she'd throw down. She'd have mashed potatoes, not instant mashed potatoes, ladies, the kind you made from scratch. Green beans that have been cooking for about 24 hours with big old ham hocks in them. Fried chicken. Well, your tongue would. Mommy, listen, meatloaf, the real kind of meatloaf. Not the kind my wife makes where she puts barbecue sauce on it. I'm talking about meatloaf with ketchup on the top, like a layer. How God intended it to be. She makes these cat head biscuits. Who knows what a cat... Who doesn't know what a cat head biscuit is? Oh, you poor Yankees. You poor Northwesterners. They're from Washington. Cat head biscuits are when the biscuits are so big they get lumpy on the top like a top of a cat's head. She makes these big old biscuits. Sorghum syrup. And we'd eat and we'd eat and we'd eat. And then my granny would get up and she'd take everybody's plate. But she'd always say, hold your fork. Because guess what that meant? Seven-layer chocolate cake was coming. Banana pudding was coming. German chocolate cake was coming. Listen, apricot nectar cake was coming. I don't even know what an apricot nectar is. But it was so good. Listen, it meant dessert was coming. The food was good, but hold your fork. The best is yet to come. Amen. Maybe the last service will give everybody forks. I don't know. Listen, the best is yet to come.